And so many different themes in the Bible and teachings, and the Lord has given us 66 books, and it would never be exhausted in a ministry of consecutively preaching God's word from week to week. There's so much here. But let's turn for our reading this morning to a well-known passage of Scripture, to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 18. We begin to look this morning at six New Testament men named Joseph. We looked the last time at five Old Testament men. We looked at the Joseph who was sovereignly sent. That is Joseph in the book of Genesis, and that is well known, well documented. Some of these characters are more obscure than others. Then we looked at the Joseph who was father to a skeptical spy, Numbers chapter 13. And 10 spies were unfaithful, 2 were faithful, Joshua and Caleb. And he was the father to one of those spies. Then 1 Chronicles 25, the Joseph who was a skilled singer. Ezra chapter 10, the Joseph who took a strange spouse. And Nehemiah chapter 12, the Joseph who was a sacred servant. So let's look at Joseph here, the first of our New Testament Josephs, Matthew chapter 1 and verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, or was as follows. This is how it happened. When, as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, or betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily or secretly. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. What a lovely passage of Scripture this is. And just to keep with our S's, here's the Joseph who received a significant statement. And you can see his record in Scripture here. And if you link Matthew 1 and Luke 1 together, you will learn that the angel came to Mary first and told her that she was going to have the Son of God. And reading between the lines then, she would have told this news to her fiancé, to Joseph. And you can see something of his reaction. And our subpoint under this is his experience. Mary's news to Joseph. You know, what's going to happen here? This wasn't meant to happen. How were other people going to look upon his Mary? How were other people going to look upon him? How were other people going to look upon them as a couple? Because the law, which they would have been aware of, says in Deuteronomy 22, verses 23 and 24, if a man is found lying with a woman married to a husband, then both of them shall die. The man that lay with the woman and the woman, so you shall put away the evil from Israel. If a young woman who is a virgin is betrothed to a husband, and this was the case with Mary and Joseph, and a man finds her in the city and lies with her, then you shall bring them both out to the gate of this, of that city, and you shall stone them to death with stones. The young woman, because she did not cry out in the city, and the man, because he humbled his neighbor's wife, so you shall put away the evil from among you, and so on. So Joseph is worried about Mary's life, and he's worried about his own. What if other people see them in a bad way like this? And Joseph is innocent. Joseph knows that nothing has happened. He hasn't been with Mary, and yet she's expecting. And so you can picture how difficult it must have been for him initially, before being reassured by an angel in a dream that he had nothing to worry about. He was told to fear not. Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And you can see something of his character. He was a good man. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not her husband yet, they were betrothed, they were engaged. But that meant a lot more to what our engagement means today. They were as good as married in being betrothed. But Joseph is described as a just man. He was a good man. He was a sensible man. There's no other man in history has had a wife like his Mary. Of course, every married man would say that, maybe. But you know what I mean. Mary is the only one in the history of this world that had a child in virginity, because she had Christ, the Son of God. That which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. But he is enlightened. And while he thought about these things, and my, he must have thought about these things, his mind must have been troubled. But the angel allays those fears. Do not be afraid. Fear not, Joseph. And the angel tells him in this dream, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. And what this son was going to do, he will save his people from their sins. This was the first of three dreams that Joseph had. We read of another dream in chapter 2 and verse 13. Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. And then verse 19 says, now when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt. Receiving that angelic protection, receiving the ministry of those guardian angels which the people of God know. When's the last time you thank God for his angels? When's the last time you thank them, you thank God for their ministry? They protect us every day. yet we're not aware of it. The last verse of Hebrews 1 says, "Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister to those who shall be heirs of salvation?" All the world that talks about having a guardian angel, no, they don't. It's only Christians have guardian angels. And here we have angelic protection around Mary and Joseph and the child. And note in verse 19 where it says, "Now when Herod was dead," the enemy, the one who sought to destroy the Christ child, the one who sent out a decree to kill all baby boys 2 years old and under. What an awful time that must have been. But when Herod was dead, and Christ lived, and a couple of thousand years on, all the Herods of this world will die. And the Savior is alive forevermore. But not also, it's worth noting too, when it says in chapter 1 and verse 18, or sorry, verse 21, "And she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." It doesn't say "for he will save people from their sins." It says "he will save his people." That is specific. That is the elect. There's no other way you can get around that. It's not a general thing. It's not "and he will save people from their sins." He will save his people. Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. So Mary was the subject, and he found this out in his dream, that she was the subject of a 700-year-old prophecy. "Behold, the virgin shall be with child," verse 22, "so all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet," of course it was Isaiah, "Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which is translated "God with us." Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep — he was still sleeping at this stage when he received all this and told about the child and the ministry of the child and the deity of the child — "they shall call his name Emmanuel," which translated "God with us," and that is in Isaiah chapter 7. It's about 700 years before this. And I think this is one of the most precious names of the Lord Jesus Christ: God with us. This isn't just a passage of scripture to be read in December. That's the time of year when it's mostly read, and the Christmas ministry brought out of it. This is for every day. Here in the middle of summer, on the 4th of July, Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. We know his presence 365 days of the year. He is Emmanuel, God with us. So you can see his experience and his obedience. Verse 24, "Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife." You can see his patience. Verse 25, "and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus." And one has said that from heaven he had the assurance that Mary had not sinned, but had been favored of the Lord. He was to take Mary under his tender care and be a foster father to the son who would be born of her. And we have seen in other studies that more children were born, that Joseph did father, that him and Mary had children, four sons and at least two daughters. Mark 6 and verse 3, is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, and brother of James, and Joseph, and Judas, and Simon, and are not his sisters here with us? So we see his experience and his obedience, his patience. We see his silence. There's nothing more recorded of Jesus from his birth, and then when he's publicly baptized and begins his ministry when he's around 30 years of age, only once when he's 12. In Luke chapter 2, in the temple, at 12 years of age, Joseph is mentioned there along with Mary. But Joseph is not mentioned after that, after Jesus is 12 years of age. He's not mentioned during Jesus' public ministry. He's not even mentioned by the people in Mark 6 and verse 3. Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, and brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon, and are not his sisters here with us? Joseph must have been dead by this stage. He's not mentioned. But one has said that while a shroud of secrecy covers the 30 years Christ spent at home, we can be sure of this, that between Jesus and Joseph there was an affection strong and deep. And Jesus grew up to become a worker in the same trade as Joseph. They were carpenters. Is not this the carpenter? Matthew's account of that says, is this not the carpenter's son? So Joseph hadn't been forgotten, even though he was dead. People would have still had bits of furniture in their homes that Joseph had made, and he was not forgotten. They could see his handiwork in their homes. Just the same way as Jesus. My, what handiwork do we see of his? We see the sun, moon, and the stars. We see oceans and lakes and mountains and color. We see changed lives. This is the handiwork of the carpenter of Nazareth, one who is good with his hands. Oh, what handiwork we see of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we see the Joseph who received a significant statement. Mary is going to have a child. He's the Son of God. He will save his people from their sins. She is a fulfillment of prophecy. What a significant statement. In Luke chapter 3, we see the Josephs who were part of the Savior story. Luke chapter 3, we have part of the genealogy, the family tree of Jesus. Luke 3, verse 23 says, and Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age, being, as was supposed, the son of Joseph. So that's just the Joseph that we have just considered. Verse 24 says, which was the son of Joseph, which was the son of Heli, which was the son of Matat, which was the son of Levi, which was the son of Melchi, which was the son of Janna, which was the son of Joseph. There you have another Joseph. Verse 26, which was the son of Maath, which was the son of Mattathias, which was the son of Simei, which was the son of Joseph. There you have another Joseph. And down in verse 30, which was the son of Simeon, which was the son of Judah, which was the son of Joseph. So there's Josephs who were part of the Savior story, three unknown Josephs. But they had their part in the family tree of Christ. All of these names, mostly unknown. Unknown lives. But they had their years to live. They had their part to play in the coming of Christ in the world. And I want to say that it is an encouragement to us when we feel that no one cares about us to realize that we never know what part we may be called upon to play in God's divine plan. These men could have been going about their lives quietly. What can I do, you know? But they were all part of the plan of God in bringing Christ into the world. We can go about our business and we do not know what lives are being touched to bring people to Jesus. To bring Jesus to people. What witness we are. Not too much said about these Josephs. There's three of them, but they're part of the Savior story. Let's turn to this Joseph that we'll know about in Matthew chapter 27. Here's the Joseph who had a selfless spirit. Joseph of Arimathea. Mentioned in the four Gospels, in about half a dozen verses in each Gospel or thereabouts, four, five, six verses. Matthew 27, Mark 15, Luke 23, John 19. And each one says something different about him. And we can build up a lovely character picture of Joseph of Arimathea. But we'll read Matthew 27, 57. Now when evening had come, there came a rich man from Arimathea, named Joseph, who himself had also become a disciple of Jesus. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be given to him. When Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his new tomb, which he had hewn out of the rock. And he rolled a large stone against the door of the tomb and departed. And Mary Magdalene was there, and the other Mary sitting opposite the tomb. Little did Joseph know that he too was a subject of an Asianic prophecy of Isaiah chapter 53 verse 9. And they made his grave with the wicked and with the rich man in his death. Joseph of Arimathea being this rich man. And in John's account, in John chapter 19, he's not mentioned after John. We only read about this man around the cross. He's one of the Sanhedrin. He's one of the council. But the picture that we can build about this man from these four accounts is this. He was a comfortable man. He was a rich man. Arimathea was about 20 miles northwest of Jerusalem. He was a comfortable man. He was a convinced man. Matthew 27, 57 says that he also became a disciple of Jesus. Mark says something different. 15 verse 43, who was also himself looking for the kingdom of God. This man was searching. He himself was looking for the kingdom of God. When his fellow Pharisees were hounding Jesus to death, Joseph of Arimathea was going in the opposite direction. He was on his own, as it were. He became a disciple of Jesus. He went against the crowd. He was the one that was swimming against the flow. He wanted to be different. So many today don't want to be different. They don't want to stand solid on the things of God. No, this is what the Bible says, and I'm not budging from that. I'm not going to tweak it. I'm not going to bend it here and there. This is what it says, and this is what we have to do. He was a comfortable man. He was wealthy. He was a convinced man. He became a disciple of Jesus. He was a civil man. Luke 23:50 tells us he was a good and righteous man. Mark 15 and 43, he was a respected member of the council. The Sanhedrin were 70 members. 70 formed the Sanhedrin council. He was a courageous man. Mark 15:43 says he took courage and went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. He was not wanting Jesus to hang upon that cross. Sabbath was about to begin. If crucifixions took place on the first day of the week, on the Sunday, bodies could have hung for days. 4 or 5 days they could have hung. But because it was a Friday night and Sabbath was beginning, he went and asked for the body of Jesus. He took courage and went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. But John gives us this little insight. Although he was a disciple of Jesus, as well as being a comfortable and a convinced and a civil and a courageous, he was a concealed man. He was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews. Secretly for fear of the Jews, he didn't want anybody to know that he was a disciple of Jesus. He didn't want anybody to know that he himself was looking for the kingdom of God. And maybe he was a cowardly man too up to this point. But it was only up to this point because he became a confessing man. He came out of his cowardice into courage. The cross changed this man's life. He was no longer going to hide what he believed. The cross changed his life. And just to read John's account of the verses, John 19, verse 39, or verse 38, after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews. He feared man. But he realized in the Psalms, you know what the Psalm says, which he would have known, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put your confidence in man. But secretly for fear of the Jews, he feared man, but no longer. Asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him permission, so he came and took the body of Jesus. And Nicodemus, who at first came to Jesus by night, John chapter 3, he must be born again, also came bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pounds. Then they took the body of Jesus, bound it in strips of linen with the spices, as the custom of the Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden. And in the garden, a new tomb in which no one had yet been laid. So there they laid Jesus, because of the Jews' preparation day, for the tomb was nearby. And we never read of Joseph of Arimathea again. I wonder what he thought. I wonder how he reacted when he heard of the resurrection of Jesus from his tomb. I wonder what he heard. The cross changed his life. And that's what changes lives, of course, is the cross. Paul gloried in much. Paul could boast much before he came to Christ. But he said, God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross. Nothing else matters, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Those are three crucifixions worth considering. The crucifixion of the Savior, the crucifixion of the system of the world, and the crucifixion of self. Paul said, I have been crucified with Christ. How do we crucify ourselves with Christ? Just as Christ died, we die and live unto him. And here's Joseph and Nicodemus, who came to Jesus by night again for fear. And he received the message, you must be born again, Nicodemus. But now the two of them come out from the crowd and they say, we're going to stand with this man. We're on his side. And one has said, as the death of Jesus drove Nicodemus and Joseph into open identification with him, so he calls his people on the basis of his death for them to receive the gift of his powerful spirit and to be his bold and unashamed witnesses in the world. Are we that? The Joseph who had a selfless spirit. Here's our last Joseph. In Acts chapter 1, the Joseph who was a solid supporter. The disciples are meeting in Acts chapter 1 to replace Judas Iscariot as an apostle. I preached on this a couple of years ago, but used the character of Matthias, who was chosen, do you remember? But the other man is called Joseph. Acts 1 verse 21, we'll read the connection. Therefore of these men who have accompanied us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John to that day when he was taken up from us, one of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection. And they proposed two, Joseph called Barsabas, who was surnamed Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, you, Lord, you know the hearts of all. Show which of these two you have chosen to take part in this ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. And they cast their lots, and the lot fell on Matthias. And he was numbered with the 11 apostles. We never read of Matthias again. We never read of this Joseph again. But the thing to get here is this. What was said here, that these men have accompanied us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us. Beginning from the baptism of John, that was the beginning of Jesus' public ministry. Some of the disciples hadn't even been called yet. They were still out fishing in their boats. But Matthias and Joseph were followers of Jesus. Jesus was very seldom without a crowd. There were all those, always those who were following him. Even when he was speaking his Sermon on the Mount, we read that a large crowd had gathered, and he spoke to his disciples, his followers, and two of them would have been Matthias and Joseph. They heard his parables. They saw his miracles. They heard his ministry. They're not mentioned in Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. But they were solid supporters. And what I said about Matthias, I can say about this Joseph. He was a spiritual man. He was a sacrificial man. He was a reliable man. And even though Matthias was chosen, this Joseph was a commendable Christian since he was nominated as an apostle. And because Matthias was chosen and not him, he wouldn't have been jealous or envious in any way. He would have wished his brother Godspeed. Even his very names mean something, you know. Joseph, called Barsabas, who was surnamed Justice. Have you forgotten the meaning of the name Joseph? May God add. May God increase. Barsabas means son of the Sabbath. Justice means righteous. Just. Justice means righteous. And that tells us something of the character of the man. So your name may not be Joseph, or maybe it is. But we can have the meaning of his name in all our lives. May God add, may God increase in our lives, and to grow in the things of God. There's only one more man to consider, and that is the name of John. Four men named John. And that will be done, DV, when I'm back with you on the 1st of August, a month's time, God willing. And we'll consider the four men named John. But these are the 11 men named Joseph. Five in the New Testament, six in the New. May God bless his word and these studies, and every verse, every word, you know, is God's word. Every word, every syllable of every word is God's word. And we can learn from a word as well as words, no matter how many. So it shows the richness of the Bible, doesn't it? And just how much we should be in it, to bless our souls and to increase in our souls. Psalm 119 and verse 73. Again, all about the Word of God, Psalm 119, to the tune St. Ethelreda, 99, 73 to 80. Thou madest and fashionedst me, thy laws to know give wisdom, Lord. So who thee fear shall joy to see me trusting in thy word. And these Josephs, particularly the New Testament ones, lived by the word of God. But all they had was the first five books, maybe the Psalms, the Old Testament scriptures. Look what we have now. We have 66 books of the Bible. So much to read, so much to learn. And to hide it in our hearts, as the psalmist said in this psalm. So Psalm 119, verse 73.